This is Power Talk 1040 KPPF. Welcome to the show. Every Saturday at this time, we bring you the Cerebral Edge with me, Coach Chris. It's a show that aims to give you the edge to get you 1% better every day. Add that all up to 365 days a year, and you're well on your way to a better version of yourself. We are back again with Dr. Grove Higgins for part two of Shaking Things Up.
Oh, yeah.
And today we're going to get into why we get sick and metabolic syndrome.
Yeah. So, hey, let me back this train up just a little bit, because why I'm even interested, I'm a chiropractor, and, and I help people with their pain, right? So I think probably it helps if you know why this is something that's interesting to me. So like I said on the previous episode, you know, I get a lot of dumpster fires, you know, people that are just not getting better, right? Or not getting better enough, right? And they're still unsatisfied. They want more and whatnot. But some of them are just absolutely train wrecks, right? And I just get so many of those individuals. This last year, I really pulled back and I started looking at all of my people and my mild cases to my wild cases, and started realizing that they really didn't look that much different. It's just that the wild cases had big issues, and it was easy to pick out problems with their pain, the fact that they weren't recovering well from things, that they got sick more often, that they were gaining weight, that they just felt older than they actually were, and that they were getting allergies to things, right? So they couldn't eat this thing now anymore that they used to eat, and their nutritional window, what they could eat successfully, was just disappearing day by day, which doesn't make for a lot of fun in life if you can't eat things that you enjoy, right?
Right.
And then I looked at my milder cases, and they looked very much the same, but just at a much lower level, right? They were still having their little gut issues. They were still having their pain issues. They still got more sore after exercise, you know, stuff like that. And all of a sudden, I had to come to the realization that there's something there. And we talked about how, you know, patients tell you what's going on. And I've had patients for years telling me, oh, gosh, I feel so inflamed and everything. And my brain, I'm going, you don't know what inflamed feels like, you know? You know, I know what inflamed looks like,
right?
But, you know, they're saying my head feels inflamed. You know, my body just feels inflamed, things like that. And you know what? Unfortunately, I was a bad doctor, and I didn't listen to that for a long time. And finally, this last year, looking at all of my people and how they all look the same at some level, I had to say, well, maybe they've got something here. Maybe I need to take some of my own medicine, right, and listen and listen to this. So I started looking into it, and I really did a deep dive on inflammation. And when you really get into it, you find out something that is really basic to inflammation in the body, which is it's underpinned, its basis, its foundation is in your metabolism. And you can chase inflammation. I can get you to go get a steroid prescription from your doctor. I can, you know, give you things like curcumin to help you with inflammation and things like that. But but again, you got to keep asking that question: why? Why is it that way, right? And if it helped, great, that's great. But why is the inflammation there already? Again, if it's mechanical, that's great. Let's fix that. But so many of these people, I mean, with so many problems in so many systems, so many organs and things like that, that there had to be something more. And I'll use my wife as an example. You know, she was an athlete, a Division II athlete. She was a pitcher. She was a horsewoman, so she got horses falling and stepping on her and things like that. So she had reason for pain physically.
Right.
But then she, as she got older and after some miscarriages, had hormone issues and skin issues and starting to have to take away gluten and everything. I mean, this sounds like a lot of people, you know.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? And everybody was chasing the hormone issue and gave her pellets, right?
Right.
Or gave her thyroid medication. And those helped. Don't get me wrong. They helped. But she's like, I don't want to be on this stuff. I want my body better. And so I work really hard for her, right? And so then looking at that metabolic component of, okay, this links all of those things. It links the gut. It links the pain. It links the muscular performance and the brain performance and a lot of things. You know, the brain fog thing. How many people have brain fog? Everybody does, right? And it seems like everybody's talking about it. Anyway, metabolism is it. It is the central part of it. Here's the thing that really got me upset, though. When I started looking at it, we've had the answers in front of us for a long time. There are some awesome doctors that have been researching for 40, 50 years, and even before that, that knew what the source of our base problem is. And the system's been ignoring them. Why? Right. Because you have to change a behavior. You have to give them something else to do rather than to take to fix the problem. And so the system has a hard time with that because that means investing in a person, teaching them, educating them, giving them what, and you have to follow the advice yourself.
Oh, absolutely. And we're such visual creatures, right? So if we don't see it, it's hard to be like, oh, that must be the problem, right?
Right.
And then as well as the rise, as you were talking about, is all these allergies all of a sudden, right?
Yeah.
Why are all these, like I had a course of my career where I had about three different people come to me with the autoimmune disease called Hashimoto's, right? And that is so rare. And I'm like, how come I can't be the only one getting Hashimoto's people, right?
Right.
So this must be like even more of an uprising of these autoimmune disorders because of metabolism. And I mean, it was so bad on this one lady where I had to have her, I said, you need to talk to your doctor a little bit because I was training her just like I was training her, but she started looking like a bulky bodybuilder that was on like Dianabol, right?
Yeah.
Because her body was retaining that much water. And we were going over her fat mass index and everything. And I was like, well, you've gained like 10 pounds of muscle in like 6 weeks, but you're retaining like a ton of water. And she had to go talk to her doctor about changing her prescription of her medication. And, oh, man, she came back to me almost in tears because her doctor berated her for questioning her
his
wisdom.
Yeah. And that's unfortunate. And I think that the reason that that happens is because this means the doctor has to step out of his normal practice mode and investing time that he doesn't have.
Mm-hmm.
With tools and knowledge that he heard one time but hasn't practiced. So it's hard to say anything other than you need to eat less, you need to drink more, you need to sleep more, you know, things like that, because he doesn't have time. So then it gets you upset when you can't help somebody and you know inherently somewhere in the back of your brain, you know what the problem is, but there's no way in your practice you can address it properly.
Mm-hmm. So what is the reason behind why we're seeing such an uprise in all these
things? So, and this is worldwide now, but there's been a huge shift in the last 30 years. The world is looking more and more like a Western society in the way that they eat, their availability of processed foods and things like that. But it really comes down to some really basic things. We eat way too much all the time, right? Mm-hmm. When you look at things, there's a great book out there by Dr. Benjamin Bickman from BYU called Why We Get Sick, and it's really just a distillation of things and what he's found in his lab. But again, this is old information, and he cites all the information that we've had for a long time. The big problem, it comes down to insulin. You know, we are around food all the time. And what really should be happening is that you should be eating, your system should respond to that food and then come to rest again. But how many of us have little things that we can pop into our mouth all day long and just keep that pulse? Instead of it being a pulse, it's just a day-long curve that doesn't stop until we go to bed. And our system is awash in insulin. The problem with that, if you're a diabetic, you know already what the problem is that insulin you're getting habituated to. Your system, your cells are starting to ignore the insulin. Well, insulin is what you use to pull energy into the cell, particularly glucose, which is a sugar, right? We need sugar. Our body loves sugar, for
sure.
But when it's in a wash in it all the time, it starts to ignore the signal and it gets broken. So now your cells can't get enough energy. And even though you're putting stuff into your mouth, it's not going into the cell. It's going all to storage because it has no other choice. So and if you see a guy walking around with a 9-month pregnant belly, right, that looks hard like a watermelon, guess what? He's got fatty liver. He's stored all that fat in order to deal with the fact that he keeps putting fuel in, but there's not enough coming out, right? And it's not just about what's going in. It's what the quality of it is going in. And there's the other problem. You know, we've got way too much food, way too much, way too frequently, and it's mostly sugar, you know? And unfortunately, that's a big deal. But if I could tell you that I have individuals that are still eating 2,500 calories a day and still losing weight just by cutting out the sugar. Mm-hmm. All right, there's an easy way to fix this problem. What, again, makes me mad about this, and this is coming from the CDC's own numbers, is 88% of Americans are in the column of metabolically unhealthy. Wow. 88%. That means 12% of us have got it right. Mm-hmm. That means your children are likely in that 88%. And what do we see? We see children developing type 2 diabetes at 9 years old, right? That used to be an old person's disease, yeah. Man, right? What has changed? Mm-hmm. What has changed? And when we look at people in pain, they've got inflammation, you go back and you fix the metabolic problem and you fix their pain. They have gut issues, you start fixing their metabolic issue, their gut issues go away, their brain fog goes away, they don't start growing hair, sorry, but things change in a positive way. Yeah, I know. But at the same time, this is a – in fact, there's multiple books that are calling it an epidemic, actually now a global pandemic in 2008 in a paper. This is a global pandemic, and it's costing us more than the last pandemic, mm-hmm. the most recent pandemic did every single year.
And that's one thing nobody likes to talk about is that pandemic kicked off the worst pandemic of locking people down for 30 days because they showed the numbers of people that gained weight over the course of a year being locked down. And it was pretty much 50% of overall weight was gained over that year as it had the last 10 years.
Right.
That's insane to me. Insane. And then you look at what was allowed to come to your house, right? So you could order all the alcohol, all the fast food to come in, right? And all of a sudden, that's why people joke and they said, well, I gained the COVID-19. It's like, well, you kind of gained the COVID-40, right?
Right.
Because that's all people were doing because they were so locked down in that situation.
Yep.
So, yeah, I totally get why it's frustrating and maddening. But at the same time, you're talking a little bit about the behavior change aspect. And I was talking with that a little bit with our good friend, Dr. Wood, because we were talking about behavior change and people come to see him. And why I have such a hard sell sometimes is because I have to teach how people move and change their behaviors to get out of pain versus if they just come to him, they're like, here, crack me. All right, I'm good. All right. And then they just walk out. But teaching those behavior change is so important.
Right.
All right, well, let's take a quick break here because when we come back, I really want to get into more of how to create those behavior changes, what we can do to make it a little bit easier on yourself as well. So really great info. I think it's going to help us out a lot. So we'll be back in just a minute. This is the Cerebral Edge with Coach Chris on Power Talk 1040. And we are back on Power Talk 1040. This is the Cerebral Edge. I'm Coach Chris, and I'm here with Dr. Grove Higgins, and we're talking about metabolic syndrome and why it's making us angry. But what are you doing about it, Doc?
Making us angry. Yeah, it is. It's making our bodies angry at the molecular level, really, is what this comes down to. So what am I doing about it? So it's injected a conversation with every single one of my patients and a consideration with every single one of my patients on what is that basic metabolic health that this person's coming before me, right? Because if they're coming to me with pain, there's a component there. And it might not be the first thing that I tackle with them, but if this problem is persistent, it is probably the problem that's keeping things holding on. Mm-hmm. So what are we doing about it? So on May 23rd, what we did is we did a class where I did some nutrition consulting, essentially, or nice. Education is what I should say, on this very issue. Showed people why they are sick and tired and dying, mm-hmm. right? And what to do about it. And it was received really, really well in the sense that this is the first time somebody's kind of put this information together that, you know, we're eating way too much, we're eating the wrong stuff. And because of that, that's driving us into this unfortunately terminal situation in our body where our bodies are going to start betraying us. Mm-hmm. We're now life is just not as much fun, that we're always sick and old and tired and everything. And eventually, hopefully you get sick and tired of being sick and tired and you want to do something about it, right? But that's why these individuals were there. The other thing that drew them there is the fact that I cooked for them, right? Huh. You know, because part of the problem of knowing what's wrong is even if you know what to do, if you don't have the skill to do it, mm-hmm. it's hard to enact, right? So part of the problem with dietary stuff in general is the fact that if you don't know how to cook,
it's not going to taste very
good. It's not going to taste very good, and it's not going to happen, right? So I really believe in trying to back the train up quite a bit and make things really, really simple. I mean, when your kids were born, when my kids were born, when the baby is born, they eat one food, right? And that one food does really good job of making a body really fast, really mm-hmm. well, right? It's anabolic, right? And your food should be the same way. It should be helping you build a body. And if it's not, you're eating the wrong stuff. So just don't do that, right? Mm-hmm. So we talked about how to eat. So part of it is feast and fast, right? Mm-hmm. Our bodies are built to fast. Excuse me. They like feasting
feast and
too, but they like to fast. We're built to not eat for prolonged periods of time, not just hours, but days even. Mm-hmm. And we actually, most of us, once we get used to it, wow, we find our brains work better, our pain goes away, our joint stiffness goes down and things like that without even trying, right? And then mm-hmm. you lose weight and that makes it even better, right? So, you know, just reducing the amount that you're eating every day or the amount of time that you're eating every day. So, mm-hmm. you know, I teach, you know, 16-hour window of fasting is great. And then you got 8 hours to eat mm-hmm. in there. If you can make it smaller, great. And then what to eat. One of the big things is just pulling back on the carbohydrates, right? Mm-hmm. We both know the brain loves glucose.
Oh, yeah.
That's its primary fuel source, and it does very, very well. The cool part is the body can turn anything it eats into carbohydrate.
Right.
Right? It is not an essential food, mm-hmm. right? It's not an essential nutrient.
It's the only one that's not.
Right. It's the only one that's not, yeah. right? You have essential fats that you have mm-hmm. to eat that you can't get and you can't make yourself, and you got essential amino acids that you have to eat from protein mm-hmm. that you can't make yourself, and if you don't get those, you will die.
You lose.
You will lose, right? But carbohydrate, we can turn anything into carbohydrate, mm-hmm. and we can fuel the body predominantly on other things, too. The mm-hmm. brain wants glucose, and that's great. Mm-hmm. But that's when you earn your carbs, you yep. know, and there's several coaches out there. My old mentor, Charles Poliquin, that was one of his things, or you got to earn your carbs. Mm-hmm. And now I truly believe it and understand it, that mm-hmm. if you want to turn insulin into an anabolic steroid that gets you more out of your workouts, mm-hmm. eat it with the workout. Mm-hmm. And then it multiplies your efforts, right? Doesn't yep. make it harder. It makes the effort turn into muscle and strength and aerobic capacity, things like that. Mm-hmm. So eat less carbs everywhere else, though, and yep. cut all of it out. If you can get down closer to zero, that'd be awesome, right? And unfortunately, fruits are one of those things that should be a treat, not a staple, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
That is one thing that I try to ingrain in my clients' heads is that when you're feeling hungry— just eat some protein.
Yeah.
Because it's so satiating and it's such lowly calorically dense, right? So it's not really calorically dense, but it's very satiating.
Yeah, definitely.
And you're also fueling your muscle, right? And you get less sugar cravings that way.
Yeah.
And I also notice that when I'm fasting, like if I do like a 16-hour fast, in the morning I might be a little hungry for a second. But then by the time 11 o'clock comes, sometimes it's 11:30, I'm like, oh, yeah, I got to eat. And I completely forget about it.
Yeah, yeah. You know? Well, and I got a solution for that one, too. But the other part of this, so if it's a three-part prescription, eat you know, fast more, right, and mm-hmm. eat in a shorter window of time, take out the carbohydrates, and then back the train up as far as you can. Get it hypoallergenic. What does that mean? Eating less foods. Right? Coming mm-hmm. back, how many people that we just talked about it have problems with gluten and other things, mm-hmm. right? Where their stomachs just don't work well with it. It gives them gas or whatever it does, mm-hmm. right? And other things. Unfortunately, we're getting too many things from all over the place. We're eating foods that never grew in this region of Colorado mm-hmm. And definitely not in this season or that season. And we're getting that food all the time. Cut back. Eat five things. The amazing part is that you find yourself spending less time in the grocery store selecting foods. You find more ways to make things taste good and give yourself some variety with the few things that you are eating, and your body has less to respond to, react to. You can always add things back in, but back it up. So make it hypoallergenic, eat less frequently, and cut out the carbs as much as possible. And then your carbs will have a huge effect on your performance, on the way your brain works, and things like that. And I have seen, literally, here's what the results are, right? I have a group of people that have lost a collective of these 15, 16 people, a collective of almost 500 pounds in just 2 months.
That's amazing.
That's amazing. And then, like my wife, all of a sudden they find their thyroids are working, and they don't need thyroid medication anymore. That's not supposed to happen.
That's not supposed to
They're finding to happen. That they don't need their testosterone anymore. That's not supposed to happen. Once you're on it, you're supposed to be on it, right? Mm-hmm. And they feel awesome. They're recovering from their exercise. They have energy all day long. They're not getting cold because their thyroids are kicking in properly. And they don't have the expense and the inconvenience of a drug that their body really doesn't need anymore.
Right. And that was a huge one. I just read a study about thyroid and cholesterol, right? So cholesterol is one of those misunderstood things, right, that they link to heart disease. But people don't realize that 75% of people with heart attacks have normal cholesterol. And the people that have high cholesterol a lot of times will have that thyroid issue.
Yeah, and here's really, really briefly, right?
Yep.
LDL, that thing that gets castigated as being the bad cholesterol, it's made up of the same stuff that that makes up all your cells, the lipids and the proteins that make the wall, the membrane of your cell. You need it. So when you work out as a power lifter and just as a fitness enthusiast, you cause damage and your body needs to repair. Guess what your LDL does? It goes up. Why? Because it's your liver's way of supporting the body when it's repairing itself, right? And we've proven time and time again that somebody that has high LDL, it's not from what's going in their mouth, great, great majority of the time, right? It's from other failures in the system that need to be fixed. Maybe fix that, and really it comes back to that metabolism, and you're going to fix that problem.
That's what people don't realize is if you've had a hard workout the day before, don't get your blood work done.
Right. Oh, yeah, definitely. I did that, too. When I was doing competitive bodybuilding, I went and I got, before surgery, I had to go get some blood work, right? Because I had to, what was it that I was getting done? Oh, yeah, it was wisdom teeth out. Ah, that was what it was. And I had to get some blood work done because I hadn't had done in a while. And they found a huge spike in my CPK enzyme, which, again, is something that happens when you break down a lot of muscle from a hard workout, right? So guess what? I had to do that sucker awake. And a wisdom tooth extraction awake is terrible, not because I didn't feel it, because they numbed me up and everything, and I went through a lot of drugs to get through that. But the sounds in your head, it sounds horrible. Oh, my gosh. Anyway.
I went through the same thing. I think the dude's foot was on my chest at one point, pulling my tooth. But, yeah, absolutely, that can get pretty detrimental when he's in there trying to scrape it out. But yeah, that same thing happened to me when I went to the VA and I wanted to get blood work done. They didn't take into account that I had a pretty brutal workout the day before.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, your cholesterol is really high. They're like, well, you just need to lose weight. I'm like, have you looked at me lately? Like, I'm not an obese person here. And then I thought about it. I was like, oh, yeah, I worked out really hard. Maybe that probably wasn't the best idea to have right before blood work got drawn.
Yep.
But interesting thing, just real quick, as before, as we were talking about things that we're eating like all over the place and things that get marketed as healthy that might not be healthy for you.
Yeah.
Some people can handle kale. Some people can't.
Right, right, right. And there's a whole nother discussion there because it is a huge, huge problem. And unfortunately, the reason that these things are pushed so much is because somebody needs to sell the stuff because somebody's growing it.
And I mean, and you look at the rise of the carnivore diet.
Yeah.
Right. And people doing fantastic on that and feeling better.
Yeah. It's an extreme hypoallergenic fasting based diet that you get way more calories in than you need and people lose weight and they get better on it. There's a reason why.
Absolutely. All right, Doc, How do people get a hold of you if they want to fix their metabolism, get better? Any more events that you might have planned?
Yeah, definitely. We're going to do this again. This was so popular that people are asking for it again, so we'll be putting it out there. But you can check on our social media, NeuroAthlete Clinic on Facebook and on YouTube as well. I'll be posting stuff there. But then you can go to our website at neuroathletechiro.com and find updates and news there. Or you can contact us directly. You can contact me directly at Dr. Higgins at neuroathleteclinic.com. Or go and call us up at 719-225-4949.
And from what I saw in the email, it's no joke, he had some prime rib on there.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, yeah. All right. Well, I'm so glad you joined me today here on the Cerebral Edge on Power Talk 1040. Thank you so much for joining me today. I hope what you heard today will make you at least 1% better, because 1% better adds up every day, doesn't it? Join me next Saturday at noon right here on Power Talk 1040. I'm Coach Chris. Until then, stay strong.